Dear brothers and sisters, it is a great joy for me to be here worshiping God with you in this Lord's Day. I am here with my wife Christina, and as it was announced, I am the pastor of the Christian Reformed Church in the city of Perugia in central Italy. I am a minister of the United Reformed Churches since 2010, and I spent 16 years planting and developing a church in the city of Milan in northern Italy, and since 2018 I've been working in the city of Perugia. I bring you the greetings of your brothers and sisters of our small congregation, and we are thankful for your fellowship in the gospel and for your prayers on behalf of Italy and of our church. And when I will be back next Lord's Day, I will convey your greetings to our congregation. Let us open our Bibles in the book of Psalms to read Psalm 13. Psalm 13, verses 1 through 6. Let us hear the word of the Lord. To the choir master, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is the word of the Lord. I will consider with you this psalm that teaches us that the balm of prayer is our medicine in times of crisis. In fact, in life, we encounter moments of serious crisis and of intense pain. But it is in our crisis that we truly learn to turn to God, because it is in our pain that God comes to meet with us in his love. Crises are the moments in life in which we truly know ourselves. Crises are the textbook that teaches us who we really are. And crises are the times in which we experience that the balm of prayer is the medicine of our soul. As a young man, Saint Augustine experienced a terrible and long existential crisis. Augustine tells us, and I quote, "When from an impenetrable depth a high consideration brought out all my misery before my heart, a great storm broke out, which brought a great downpour of tears. And while he was crying profusely, Augustine threw himself on the ground under a fig tree, where he continues to tell us, I release the bridles of the tears which burst from my eyes in rivers." And it was at that point that Augustine prayed to the Lord with the words of our psalm, "How long?" These are the words of Augustine. "And I spoke to you for a long time, O Lord. I uttered pitiful cries. How long? How long? Tomorrow? And then tomorrow again? Why not now? I said these things and cried with the bitterest contrition of my heart." And this is the witness of Augustine in his Confessions, where in his long and deep crisis, he used the very words we read in Psalm 13, words that are used many times in the book of Psalms and also in other parts of the Word of God. And this reflection introduces us to the text of Psalm 13 and to its language, because it shows us, as I said, that the balm of prayer is our medicine in times of crisis. I will begin with you with a biblical exposition of Psalm 13, considering that it shows us a passage, an exodus, from the crisis of despair to hope. A passage from the crisis of despair to hope. We need to observe that our psalm presents a crescendo. It opens with an impatient, agitated, anguished, and desperate tone, and closes with a bold, a joyful confession of faith in God's salvation. So the beginning is very different from the end. And often, as in this case of Psalm 13, in the Psalms, there is a reversal, that is a turning point. The Psalm begins in one way and it finishes in another way, from despair, there is a passage into hope. And In the case of Psalm 13, such turning point is very evident. At a certain moment, the psalmist's state of mind reaches a condition entirely different from the previous one. And the change described in the psalm is not so much external. This is an important consideration. It is not so much external as it is internal. We see in our psalm the psychological dynamism of many psalms, and that is the ability that psalms have to describe the changes, the transformations, the metamorphosis of the thoughts, feelings, and desires of the human spirit. In our psalms, there are, as usually happens, three main characters: the person praying, God, and the enemy, that in this case is identified with death itself. The psalm, as we said, begins as an impatient and desperate lament. And perhaps the beginning gives expression also to some resentment of the psalmist towards God. The cry, "How long, Lord?" is repeated 4 times in the first 2 verses. And this simple repetition of this expression, "How long?" expresses the depth and the intense agitation and fear of the person who is praying. But as we read and as we already considered, at a certain point, while praying, the psalmist passes from despair to hope. And his inner discomfort is healed as he abandons himself to the will of God. And the important thing to note, to learn, is that this passage, this exodus, is experienced through the practice of prayer. Without prayer, there would have not been this turning point we are speaking about. The person praying presents herself to God with all the restlessness and agitation of her being, and nothing is left out of the sacred oasis of prayer, but everything converges into the place of prayer to receive support and transformation. So this is briefly the thrust of Psalm 13. Now we continue after a biblical exposition, we continue with a Christological interpretation of the psalm. How does Psalm 13 shows us the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? And very simply, Psalm 13 shows us the passage of the Son through the crisis of the Passion. As the psalmist passes in this psalm from despair to hope, we see in some way, in some measure, Christ passing through the crisis of the Passion to the joy of resurrection life. We know that the Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was made perfect through suffering, so that having tasted suffering himself, he could come to the aid of those who suffer, that is us. Faced with the power of darkness and death, the great enemy, as we read in Luke 22:53, the Son found himself in a situation similar to that of the psalmist, when God the Father hid his face from him. But seeing the shadow of the great enemy rising before him, the Son, although he was troubled and anguished to the extreme, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as we read in Luke 22:44, prayed even more intensely. In his time of crisis, the Son of God prayed more intensely. And while praying, the Son abandoned himself not to the power of death, but to the will of God, who is able to bring out good things from evil. In fact, Christ's last word from the cross was a joyful confession of faith in God and an anticipation of the resurrection, when he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Psalm 31, verse 5. So there is a similarity between the crisis of the psalmist in Psalm 13 and the crisis Jesus experienced in his Passion. There was a turning point in both cases experienced while the psalmist and the Lord were engaged in intense prayer. And the author of the letter to the Hebrews insists on the role played by prayer in the experience of the Son of God, when he says in Hebrews 5:7, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard. It was therefore in this way, through the practice of prayer, that the son learned obedience, as we prayed together when we sang the last hymn. It was in this way, through the practice of prayer, that the son learned obedience from the things he suffered, overcoming and leaving behind the terrible crisis he had to endure. And finally, after a biblical exposition and a Christological interpretation, we conclude with an ecclesiological application, with a reflection on how Psalm 13 applies to our own Christian life, as we contemplate not just the experience of the psalmist, but the experience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we learn to think about our own passage or passages through crisis by virtue of the balm of prayer. As the psalmist and as our Lord Jesus, we too, in our time of crisis, we are enabled to go through them, being strengthened through the practice of prayer. And I would like to go back to Augustine and to his long crisis, because the time of his crisis lasted for 12 years. If you have the time to read, or if you already read his confessions, you will see that Augustine had a very long time of crisis. And in this long period, Augustine sought God, faltering and with hesitation. He postponed his surrender, despite he knew that he could not escape from the presence of God. And thus, dragging himself for a long time, at a certain point, Augustine reached the end of his spiritual crisis. And these are his words. "And now the day had come in which I was naked in front of myself." And thus, shocked and frustrated, Augustine, without knowing that his crisis came to an end, reached the epilogue of what he calls the controversy of me against myself. Because sometimes our crises are just that. It is many times a controversy of ourselves against ourselves. And as in the psalmist's experience, While he was praying, Augustine realized that, and these are his words, all the darkness of doubt were gone, as if the light of certainty had entered my heart. And so, reading Psalm 13, considering the spiritual experience of saints in time of crisis, and especially thinking about the person and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we learn that we can go through times of crisis being strengthened by virtue of the balm of prayer. Not so much because of our prayers in themselves, because we know, as Paul teaches us in Romans 8:26, that we cannot pray as we should. It is often when we want to pray that the weakness of our faith manifests itself. So it is not so much the power of our prayers that brings us through crisis, but it is that Jesus himself, our great high priest, prays with us and for us in our times of crisis. The Lord is with us always, especially in our most difficult times, in time of crisis, when we know by experience that we are the incarnation of weakness. In those moments when we are at the end of the rope, we have the opportunity to learn that Christ prays with us and for us. And that is why the balm of prayer is our medicine in times of crisis. And of course, this applies to our Christian life, not only as individuals, but also as the body of Christ in the time of crisis in which we live. We have many reasons to be afraid. The witness of Christianity, at least in our Western world, is very weak. They say that we came to the end of Christianity. The churches are being left empty. People are leaving all sorts of Christian confessions. We see many who are opposing Christianity, who are very aggressive, very powerful in many ways. It is a time of crisis for the church in general. And in this time of crisis, the remedy is always the same. Praying with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because prayer is our medicine in times of crisis. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace in our weakness, with our sins, with our failures, with our regrets, with our fears, with our despair. But we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who faced his crisis to deliver us from guilt, from misery, and to make us partakers of the life of the new creation. So, far from trusting in ourselves, we confess our complete dependence on your mercy and grace. And we ask you to pour out in our hearts the spirit of grace and supplication, that we may fix our eyes upon the one who was pierced for our transgressions. Help us to face one day at a time, beginning each day, kneeling before your face, offering our prayers to you, seeking from you what we don't find in ourselves, in others, or in the whole creation. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We now collect our offerings, our gifts of gratitude for budget and reformed faith and life.